Hello to our Hope family in Singapore and all over the world. So good to have you at our in-person services. Well, to our friends who turn up or tune in to our Christmas at Hope last weekend, and you are back with us today in person or online, a big welcome to you. May God draw you deeper to His love and presence today. Welcome to the first weekend of 2022. I believe that 2021 might be difficult, fearful or tiring to many of us. In this coming new year, you know, we hope that it will be a better year for us and for our family. Perhaps due to the uncertainties of the pandemic, we moderate and approach the new year with much consciousness. You know, pandemic fatigue has dulled our passion for God. Our walk with God has become stale and stagnant. Well, let's be honest. Our heart might not be as passionate for God as before. Some of you might have lost the hunger for Him. So let's start the year by returning to the heart of the matter, returning to our passion for Christ. May I invite you to pray together? Put your hand on your heart. You see, if you are in our in-person services at various centers, stretch your hands on your left and right without touching them. Pray for the person beside you. Let's do that together, shall we? Let's place our hands on our heart, or those who are in-person service, on your left and right. Shall we do that together? Let's pray. God, stirs our heart to be open and responsive to your word. Let our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our mind to understand what you are saying to us, what you are saying to me. Father, I pray for our heart to desire you more and more. Cause our heart to be soft. May the next 35 minutes be a one that brings forth revelation of what you will do and what you will do in us and through us for this coming year. I commit our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people shall say, Amen. Amen. New year, new passion. We're going to learn about in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. A new year, a new passion. We can learn from Mark 14, 3, 9. Three ways how we can grow our passion in a new year. So if you have electronic Bible with you, do turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. If you have a book Bible with you, just flip to the page, Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. I believe the Word of God is going to bring forth and change our life today. Let's look at the background in Mark 14. In verse 1, Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Now, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. The chief priests and teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus and secretly kill him. See, the mood in chapter 14 was intense. Jesus was entering into his Passion Week, and it coincided with the Passover. Passover is an important feast of Judaism, commemorate the deliverance of his people from the hand of Egyptian. Well, at a Passover, during the Passover week, huge crowds gathered in Jerusalem, about 85,000 to 300,000 people, 5 times more crowded in normal days. Jesus was about to be crucified publicly in a few days' time. There were some who wanted to arrest and kill him secretly. Then you come to verse 3, all right? There was this verse 3, Mark chapter 14, verse 3. You're with me, right? There was a sudden shift in the mood from a thriller to a love scene. Let's look at Mark chapter 14, verse 3. The scripture says, when Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at a table in the home of Simon the leper, Jesus is in Simon's house having dinner. Simon used to be having a leprosy, you know, and I think he was healed. Okay, I believe he was healed because a leper having leprosy is unable to host people in their own house. So in this case, Simon was healed and he's hosting Jesus at his place. In verse 3, it continues, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Nameless woman here in the book of Mark, but in the book of John, it was identified as Mary of Bethany. See, the perfume made of pure nard is an expensive aromatic oil. The value of this perfume was described later part of this Mark chapter 14 is over 300 denarius. It costs more than a year's salary. In those days, women might not work as they are not really highly regarded in the society. So likely, the perfume that the woman brought could be a family heirloom, rich in sentimental and monetary values. She brought the costly jar of perfume, broke the costly jar, and poured the even more costly perfume on Jesus' head. It is a costly gift. The first lesson we can learn and glean from this woman is that extravagant devotions involves personal sacrifice. It involves sacrifice. She sacrificed that alabaster jar of expensive perfume. You know, sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. You see, just like how parents value their children, they gave up their sleep, their rest, their work. You know, how boyfriend loves his girlfriend, gave up his gaming time and sent her from home, from the east to the west, and then go back to the east. How the woman sees Jesus of importance, that she honors Jesus with a year wages gift. This goes to the same how God values us. He gave us one and only Son, Jesus, for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Shall we read that together? All right, let me hear your clear, resounding voice of these verses. 1, 2, go. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I like how Apostle John, just freeze the verse there, all right? But how Apostle John put it, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son, Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice for us, for our sins. You see, the more we consider the cross of Christ, how can anything that we do be called sacrifice? Isn't it so true? Whatever that we gave up to God, it is just a response of His sacrificial love in our lives. I love a Chinese quote that resonates in me for a long, long time. It says, so all the Chinese friends, it says this, 没有付不起的代价,而是看不到的价值. There's no price we are unwilling to pay. There's only value we have yet to see. You see, when we see the value of Christ, there is no amount of price we can pay. So the focus here, you see, friends, church, brothers and sisters, the focus here should not be why I need to sacrifice. You know, even though we can't even call it a sacrifice in the first place, the focus should be why can't I see the value of Christ? Apostle Paul, who was in prison, encouraged the believers in Philippi. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. To Paul, to know Christ is to gain, was far more valuable than anything else in his life, in Apostle Paul's life, including his own life. When he wrote this letter, he was at a very difficult situation. In fact, he was in prison. You see, God owns everything and needs nothing. So why does He need us to sacrifice? Isn't it? Have you ever thought of this question? God, who owns everything, needs nothing, but why does He need you and I to sacrifice? You see, it is not the gift that He's looking at. He's looking at our heart. God doesn't need Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, as God is able to provide another sacrifice. He is a God who owns everything. He can provide another replacement in replacement of Isaac. But what Abraham did shows his devotion and trust in God. God is never a taker. Let me repeat. God is never a taker. He is a giver. What He desires from you and I is a genuine relationship. Well, because He gave us a free will, the freedom to choose, the freedom to give, so that when we choose to give or sacrifice, the focus is not on the what anymore, but on the heart. God desires our heart that is passionate and alive for Him. How to do so? I love Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, We are not to offer a dead sacrifice. You know, it's not to offer a dead sacrifice. Paul says here, to offer our lives as living sacrifice means to offer your present self. It doesn't matter if you have did it 1 month ago. You have offered your life to God a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Paul encouraged you and I in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to offer our lives today as living sacrifice. A few weeks ago, on my birthday, how many of you are born in the month of December? Can you give me a big, big wave? Hi, December babies. I believe that people born in the month of December is the most good-looking people, okay? You know, I took time to pause, reflect, and hear what God has to say to me. As I was worshiping, one of the song choruses goes like this. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes. Cause I love you, I love you. You know, I felt that God is asking me, in my that little room, if I will love him still. Will my answer be a yes to him even before he challenged me or invites me to follow his will and even to wait for his timing? I was in my room, and in the very dark room, I started to tear because I can't really say honestly that I will say yes to him all the time. I pride myself as a pastor a lot of time that I have loved God. I have a list of things that I have loved him more than 20 years. Some of you who are seated there, you have came to know God for many years, and you could actually have a long list and say that I have loved God for all these things. But on that birthday night, 3rd December this year, God gently asked me if I would love him first again. Will I give my all in view of his love and kindness again? So on that night, I said yes to God by bringing my life pursuit, my life agenda, my life plan. I surrender it, I break it, and lay at the feet of Jesus. So friends, church, what is your alabaster jar that you can bring it to God in 2022? Give it up and honor him. Your singleness, your dreams, your friendship, your time, your resources, your priorities, your life pursuits. So let's continue in Mark chapter 14, verse 4 to 5. Are you with me still? Yeah? Mark chapter 14, verse 4 to 5. As some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why these waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. They rebuked the woman harshly. You see, many people were at the dinner table, were in Simon's house. Many people were indignant to what the woman has done. They were not just irritated, but furious. Why these waste of perfume? They rebuked her harshly. This use of precious perfume to anoint the Lord of glory, who is entering into his passion, into his suffering, was considered a waste by the people at the dinner table in Simon's house, where the disciples were there, the teachers of the laws were there. The only question that raised by the people in the room was why this woman gave so much. In the eyes of the contemporaries of Jesus, this act of devotion by the woman was an act of extravagance. The second thing we can learn from the woman, extravagant devotions invites criticism from others. It does not just involve personal sacrifice, it invites criticism from others. In verse 4 and 5, when we demonstrate our passion for Jesus, we may attract the disapproval of others. We may offend other people. In the book of Galatians, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I will not be a servant of Christ. No, Paul used a rhetorical question to make his point. Precisely, he is to live for the audience of one. So the rest of the response of other people is not what he lived for, but he lived for just the audience of one in this life. You see, people may want us not to be extreme in our faith, isn't it? That we may have to grow up, you know, we may have grown up with parents or friends who tell us that, you know, it is okay to be involved in Christianity, all right? Okay, I don't object. Go ahead. But just don't be obsessed with it. Have you heard about that? Heard of that before when you're growing up or even right now you're facing that? The key is moderation. Be balanced. See, as a result, we practice moderation in our faith. Not too hot and not too cold. Not too hot, we tone down our commitment. Not too devoted, that we might invite criticism. We might invite disapproval. And then not too cold, as long as we fulfill the minimum Christian duties, like, you know, once in a while, or we just attend some of the in-person services. Sometimes we come, sometimes we don't, but at least we turn up for some weeks, some live group gatherings, you know, once in a while in a Zoom. Sometimes we go into the physical gathering. Tithe, I try to do it every month, but if I miss one or two, at least I tithe, you know, and we fulfill the minimum Christian duties. And then we will be very safe. We don't look bad among the Christian friends. And we are nice Christian. We are called to be very, very nice Christian. You see, in this pandemic, as a pastor, as I observe, not just the trend around me, but even in my personal life, as we live with endemic wisely and lovingly, be very careful. We don't slip into a moderation mode, that the choices and decisions we make might lead us to become a lukewarm Christians. See, besides, people might say that you're too passionate. People might say that you're too naive. People might say that, you know, that you're too simple-minded. You give everything to Jesus, who might not bless you back, like the woman was being rebuked harshly. You know, that they will say that you're too simple-minded. You give Jesus everything, he might not bless you back. At the end, you gain nothing. This is a very silly act. See, if the woman had taken out a little of the perfume to anoint Jesus, he will probably not have been criticized, isn't it? I think people will just find her very acceptable of her offering to God. But smashing an entire jar of perfume that costs 1 year's wages to use it on one person seems to be too extravagant. She was criticized for such action. So some of us might take a transaction approach in our relationship with God. Like, for example, we give a little of our life to Jesus while we keep most of it to ourselves, or devote it to our other pursuits in life. You know, we calculate our commitment to God. All right, now I give my 10%, God is going to return me with 20. We calculate our commitment to God, to love God only when there is something in it for us. This is a transaction, not devotion. See, what the woman given to Jesus was not wasted. Now, Jesus came to the woman's defense. Let's continue to read on in Mark chapter 14, verse 6. Let's read out. This is the third part of the love story, all right? In between, in a very intense mood in Mark chapter 14. Let's look at verse 6. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." Leave her alone, Jesus said. He was saying, that's enough. Be quiet. Just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth and stop rebuking her. Jesus was standing on her side. And he says, why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Jesus sings praises of this woman and stand on her side and back her up. See, when people see ways, Jesus sees beauty. Can you hear a loud amen? Amen. Extravagant devotions. And the third thing we can learn from the woman, extravagant devotions induces praises from God. Jesus was saying, leave her alone. She has did a beautiful thing to me. And he continued on in verse 7. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. What Jesus is saying is not to ignore or be indifferent to the poor. He explains further that the disciples will always have the opportunity to help the poor around them. However, they will not always have the opportunity to do so to God, to Jesus, because Jesus will not be around with them very soon. In a few days' time, he will be crucified. So Jesus affirmed the woman in verse 8. He continued on and says, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. See, the woman doesn't have the power or influence to go to the Sanhedrin to stop the plot, to execute Jesus. She did what she could. She can't raise an army to defend Jesus. She's powerless. All she did is all she could do. She didn't come to celebrate, eat and be merry with the rest. But she came to anoint Jesus for the burial. You see, the burial is significant. It is important. Jesus is entering his Passion Week. It's important to the whole history of redemption for mankind. And the woman did just she could. She bring the oil, anoint Jesus' head to prepare for his burial. And Jesus continued in verse 9. I love verse 9. Can we all read verse Mark chapter 14, verse 9 together? Let's read out loud and clear and declare that together. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The woman certainly did not expect her act of devotion to Jesus to become a text in the Bible, encouraging believers throughout ages, even in the time of our generation, to commit fully to Jesus. You see, you might think your devotion to God is small and insignificant like the nameless woman. Your labor in the Lord has yet to see much fruits. The group that you are leading is stagnant. The people you are mentoring are not growing, or people you are reaching is not responding. And you wonder if you could actually continue to do so. Don't let your devotion to God be underrated. No, don't lose your first love. Don't give up. Don't lose focus. God sees it. He prays you even no one affirms it. See, what you bring to God will bring impact more than you can imagine. Can hear a loud amen. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. To many of you who step up to serve and lead as a life group leader, as a unit leader, sub-district leader, zone leader, whatever leader's capacity, ministry leader, I want to give a shout out to all of you. I want to say a big thank you. It is never easy, because when you are involved with people, it is complex. People equates to complexity, isn't it? You did it because of your devotion for God and His church. I want to give a salute to you. I want to say thank you. And God is applauding you and say, good and faithful servant. Thank you for leading through this pandemic together with the pastors of the church here in Singapore and the rest and different parts of the world. And if you are seated beside your mentor or your leaders, or you are tuning in online, you are hearing this message, can you help me to thank him or her? If you are seated beside your mentor or your leader, give a nudge, all right, and say thank you. You can send a text to thank them personally, affirm them, cheer for them, support them. Some of you who are here, you have been putting God as your first in your life. You chose another CCA because you want to give your best time to Jesus. You led your family to put Jesus first. I want to say thank you. You put Jesus before your career. A big thank you. You gave your youth to serve Jesus. A big, big thank you. You step out when you are in a transition in life station, from student days to young adult, from young adult to married couple to be parents of three, and then in retirees, and you step out when you are in transition in various life stations. A big thank you. It was not posted on social media. All the things that you have, bring your alabaster jar and break it at the feet of Jesus to anoint his head for what he has done for you. It's not posted on social media. No likes, no share. But in God's eyes, it was beautiful. He affirms you for your devotion. As I've come to the last part of my message, I want to read this poem to you as I come to the end of today's message. As I make this prayer for my life, as you read this, I pray that it will be the prayer for your life. And the poem goes like this. Beloved God, may everything I do today be my anointing of you. May every thought, word, and deed a pouring out of myself for you, a gift of service, adoration, and thanks. May every act comfort you. Receive your sacred story. Join me to you in your suffering. Embrace your dying and prepare for what will follow. In your death, may you be wrapped in the balm of my own heart. Give me courage to give my gifts, no matter how others may judge. May my life give off the aroma of gratitude and love. Accept the anointing of my prayers, my being in your love. I carry the alabaster jar of my life into this new day. Amen. May we start 2022 with a new passion for God. Church, may we start 2022 with a new passion for God. God can't control your heart. You own your heart. Start by involving personal sacrifice and be prepared. When you live a devotion to God, be prepared to invite criticism, and your devotion will induce God's praises over you. And at this point, I would like the various congregational leaders and center pastor to pray for you and pray with you. Let me hand this time to them, and may God bless you.